Good to see you. Get on out. I miss you as well. Welcome, everyone. I got a few announcements to make before we begin our worship service. Members on the sick list, PJ's back with us, good to see you. Also, we need to remember Pam Bays from Northwest, some suffering from cancer, from undergoing treatments. Remember her. Now, out of town, Casey's and Sandy are out of town. When is the invitation? Brother Tony, come bring us that. Times of worship at this place, we'll be here Sunday morning at 9 o'clock for our Bible class, Sunday morning worship at 10. And it'll be Sunday evening, 4 o'clock, evening worship. Wednesday, we meet again at 7 o'clock for our Bible study. The order of worship this evening, opening prayer will be taken care of by Brother Mark Evans. Communion will be taken care of by Brother Keith. Song we hear this evening, Brother Tim, he selected 344 for song this evening. Take the song books. 344. Chuck, you bring us a lesson this evening. Brother Dave, we have a closing prayer. Am I missing any out? If not, let's take our song books and join in the song service. For 344, we'll sing all four verses. Jesus calls us.
Jesus calls us o'er the tumult of our lives, while restless sea. Day by day, His sweet voice sounded, saying, Christian, follow me. Jesus calls us from the worship of the vain world's golden store, from each idol that would keep us, saying, Christian, love me more. In our joys and in our sorrows, days of toil and hours of ease, still He calls in cares and pleasures, Christian, love me more than these. Jesus calls us by Thy mercies, Savior, make us hear Thy call. Give our hearts to Thine obedience, serve and love Thee best of all.
Next song, number 392. We'll have our opening prayer after we sing all four verses of Let the Beauty of Jesus Be Seen. 392.
Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. All His wonderful passion and purity. May let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. When your burden is heavy and hard to bear, when your neighbors refuse all your love to share, when you're feeling so blue, don't know let the beauty of Jesus be seen in you. When somebody has been so unkind to you, some word spoken that pierces you through and through, think how He was become, let the beauty of Jesus close of day. In example, in deeds, and in all you say, lay your gifts at his feet, ever strive to keep sweet. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in you.
Our Father, God in heaven, the Almighty, the Creator of this universe, all things therein, that we can go out into this earth that you so set here for us to live with and find thy handiwork, and truly indeed we know that there is a God in heaven. Pray, Father, from the outset that we are good stewards of all things that you have given to us, those of the physical realm, the earth itself, and the means to provide, and for our families and relationships and things of that nature. Father, we pray that we're good stewards in such a way that we can give a portion back of that to be purposed on Sunday mornings as we contribute to that. Also good stewards of the spiritual blessings through your Son, Jesus. We're deeply grateful and that he took upon that plan of salvation to come upon this earth to bear the sins of the world. But we know that it required that perfect sacrifice. We're grateful, Father, that you have not turned away, that you allow that to happen, and that we may come and name thee as Father and name Jesus as our Lord and Master, and to lean upon thy word, to look upon it, and to glean truths from it, to be applied to our lives, to be better individuals. Pray, Father, as you have continued to bless this congregation, that you do so, that we may go out and spread thy word in whatever means we have available, even if it's the simple way of speaking one-on-one to individuals and answering their Bible questions, Father. We pray that we will have the confidence and the courage to do so, always abounding that you will give the increase. Pray, Father, that you be with those away that are away from us, from roads of travel. It be thy will, and it is our desire that they return to this locality to be with us, to be an encouragement and fellow laborers in this location. Pray, Father, at this time that we know you have your providential hands in governments, and this government of ours has been blessed for so many years. We pray that those freedoms will still be granted, freedom to come and worship thee as we are doing so. But understand, Father, that if your hand decides to take those freedoms away, we still have the obligation to come and worship you in spirit and in truth. And we pray that we will never back down from that, Father. We pray that as we examine our lives and we found sins and shortcomings, that we make those corrections. We know that life on this side is very short and brief, and we're just a sojourner on this earth, that we want to stand right and justified, that when judgment comes or death comes, that we have that confidence that we know where our home will be with thee in heaven. Pray, Father, to be with each one of us in our endeavors, be with us in our travels. We're deeply thankful for the portion of health that you've given each one of us. In Christ's most holy name, amen. Amen.
We'll turn to song number 742. We'll sing this song before the Lord's Supper is offered for those who were not able to take this morning. 742. Sing the first, second, third, and fifth verses. We'll omit the fourth verse.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my riches gain I count. things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to His love. He from His head, His hands, His feet, sorrow and love flowing go down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thoughts compose so rich a
Lord's Supper has been left prepared for those Christians who were not able to partake this morning. If you would like to partake at this time, please raise your hand. Thanks for the bread. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer at this time, thanking you so much for this bread which represents your Son's body that was freely offered up on the cross for us, Father. We thank you so much for the great sacrifice and the great love that was shown up on our behalf by your Son, our Savior Jesus. We realize, Father, that without that great sacrifice, there would be no hope. And we understand it's the greatest of all spiritual blessings that you have bestowed upon us. We pray that as the by partake of this bread, that we do so in a way that pleases you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer once again, thanking you so much for the great sacrifice that was given on our behalf by Jesus. We thank you for the great love and the plan that you put in place, the plan of salvation. Your Son was willing to come to this earth and to offer Himself up as the supreme sacrifice. We pray that we will always think upon that great sacrifice and that great love and show that love to others, Father. We thank you for this fruit of the vine which represents His blood that was freely shed upon the cross for us. We realize that without that blood being shed, that we would not have the remission of sins, Father. We pray that if someone's about to partake of it, they do so in a way that pleases you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Includes Lord's Supper. The collection plate will be left available after services for anyone who did not have an opportunity to lay by in store.
We'll turn to number 405. Love Divine. We'll say all four verses before we start bringing this to lesson this afternoon. 405.
Love divine, all love excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down. Fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus,
Teach what we stand for. Let's just say we're doing a lot of work for the church in Mount Carmel. they've been, see the TV program goes everywhere, and that's the second contact up there for that, which is fine, because we're just planting water. It's not all about here, us, although it would be nice. But anyway, we're just going to continue to do that, so some good things are happening as we go about teaching the Word of God. Folks, we're going to be reading a lot of interesting passages here. For the introduction, and it'll take a little while to get through this. And all these passages are leading up to a question. And then we're going to spend the rest of our time answering that question two ways. So now that I told you what we're not, what you don't know, let's just go ahead. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3 is where we're going to begin in our reading tonight. Ephesians chapter 3, and I'm going to start in 8. And we're going to be in Ephesians for the first little while tonight. So Ephesians chapter 3, let's pick it up in verse 8. We're going to go through verse 12. 8 through 12, Ephesians 3. Paul said, "To me who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all people see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him. Now, the word that I want us to be focusing on there is this concept of having that confidence. I want us to consider this manifold wisdom of God for just a few moments. We already noticed that one time it was hidden, it was a mystery. Back up to the first chapter, same book, Ephesians 1, verse 7 through 9. Ephesians 1, 7 through 9. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will according to the good pleasure which He purposed in Himself. I just like that reference, the idea that one time it was a mystery, and how that it is not a mystery anymore. Ephesians chapter 3, go back, verse 1. Ephesians 3, verse 1. He says, "For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to me for you, how that by revelation He made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in few words, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." Now you're starting to see a little bit of a theme through our passages so far. The confidence that we gain through the teachings of our Lord, through, you know, using Paul, speaking by revelation. Just move down quickly, same one. We read it earlier. I want to make that link. Look at verse 10 again. To the intent that now, you know, Paul, speaking by revelation of Jesus Christ, preaching among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches, he says, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church. In the sixth chapter, I just want to do a lot of groundwork with these passages. And we'll make reference to them in a moment. Ephesians chapter 6, look at verse 17 now, through 19. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that the utterance may be given to me, that I may open the mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. You know, I just kind of see ourselves this way, guys. We have been given the gospel. Our job. Make it known. Share it. Help other people learn. The gospel has to go forth. We know that. Jesus gave the commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Without it, what happens? 1 Peter, verse 4, verse 17. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God, and it begins with us first. What will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? It's a no-brainer. What will the end be for those who do not obey the gospel? So we need to tell them about the gospel, that manifold wisdom of God that has been revealed. It's not a mystery anymore. Without it, people are perishing. It's all about us, guys, and our responsibilities. I mean, we have an enormous responsibility. I kind of use this, you know, the building is, you know, it's kind of like this. It's just a place for us to go, but it's just yet another tool. We want to fill that place. Why do we want to fill the building? Why do we want to fill this place? You guys know the answer to that. That means souls that are lost are now saved. We're focused on that. And the only way that's going to be accomplished is we've got to make known the mystery. There are people out there that are still in the dark. They're wandering around in the dark. We've got to flick the switch on, so to speak. We have to help them see. It was a mystery. But the point is, it's not a mystery anymore. The 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I like this. Look what he says in verse 1. 2 Corinthians 4. Paul says, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Verse 3 of 2 Corinthians 4. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine on them. You know, I just think it's so great that we are doing what we can to spread the gospel in this community. I know you guys have been talking to people. I love hearing that. You're talking to a coworker or a friend or a relative. It's great. These other things we're doing, they're just tools to open up doors so that we can go and meet with people and sit down and open up the Word of God. Maybe they'll come and visit with us. Sit in the audience and we can just teach them the Word of God. We want souls saved. That's our focus. We're excited about it. We're saved and we want others to go too. I see that in the life of Paul. He just wanted to share it with other people because we know that what people are perishing. They're all around us. We're not hateful. I'm not going to get up here and just point the finger and expose you. You know, they're wrong and they're wrong and they're wrong. They're wrong. Well, we can point out error, but the fact is, there are people there that are lost. That hurts. That hurts us. We don't want people to miss heaven, just like our Lord doesn't want people to miss heaven. Now, back to Ephesians, the first chapter. Verse 13. Ephesians 1:13 says, "In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." Love this. You know, I've been thinking a lot about this when we have people that obey the gospel. You know, I can remember sharing news with people over the years. For the last 30 years, you know, and you've done it too, when you've talked with people about people that you know, either you had a hand in helping leading them to the Lord, or just heard about it, but when you share that story with other people, you're talking about, man, they were just hungry, and they just wanted the truth, and they just wanted answers to their questions. But that's everybody here. Especially that, and I found myself doing that not too long ago, talking about some of you, and it was just like a light went off in my head. Whoa, wait a minute. I'm talking about me. And I'm talking about every other member here. That's you. You were looking. You wanted, you know, somebody presented the gospel. It was hidden from you. But you wanted to learn. And you were looking for answers. And you received them. And that's great. And now that we have this, we understand that man needs to hear it. And we're going to do all that we can. We have this confidence that we trusted in. I'm coming back to that. I'm leading up to this question. What's this question? We're going to get there. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And we'll read, 3 and 4 over. "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of..." Let me back up. Let's do it. Verse 1. "Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence." That was Mark's prayer. Move on. "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." That's it. That's all we're saying. Come to the knowledge of the truth. It was a mystery. It's been revealed. And we received it. And we want to share it with other people. That's all. This is that heart. So we can know that. We mentioned that in our lesson this morning. We can know the truth. We can know the gospel. We can know the manifold wisdom of God. So the connection between truth and the church, we mentioned it in Ephesians 3:10. Make known the manifold wisdom of God. 1 Timothy 3:14, you know that one. The church is the pillar and the ground of truth. This church, River Ridge Church of Christ, we are going to be doing our best to constantly be in the face of people with truth. We're not putting River Ridge Church of Christ in the Church of Christ in their face. We're putting the gospel out there. We want them to know that's why we're here. We're just going to keep revealing that and being a pillar in this community, remembering that the church is God's people. That's Colossians 1, right? He's the head of his people. He's the head of the church, which is the body. Now the question. Now the question. Having said all of that, this question I think every one of us here really needs to come to grips with. And I don't think any of us here have a problem with it, but I just want to reinforce it with it. And the question is simply this. Can a church be 100% right in what it teaches? Can it? Now, I'm thinking about this question because this 100%, this confidence, that trust that I've been reading, remember we read trust. We know it. What that does for us. I know assurance. When I'm 100%, I'm different. Guys, I grew up in the north where we couldn't wait for, you know, the freezing of the lakes. We couldn't wait. I mean, you could either go and fish on it or you go skate on it. But I can remember when those early freezes are. You just didn't run out on the lake. What, are you crazy? You didn't do that. What you did is, if you wanted to go and play some pond hockey, you grabbed a stick, you turned it upside down, you got the pointy part, and on the edge of the surface, you chopped. I mean, if it's not going through easy, okay. Then you take a foot and you step on a little bit more, and then now you're on the shore. If you go through, you're going up to your ankles. So you don't panic. Oh, I'm only wet. But you jumped on it. You went out a little bit farther. And you know what? As you build up that confidence, all of a sudden, you relax. You have confidence. You just focus. Let's have some fun. We have to get to the point where we have that confidence. You got to have it. That we're 100% right. Not arrogance. You know, when I'm seeing Paul talk to the brethren at Corinth, or the Ephesian brethren, he's talking to them like, you heard it, you received it, you understood it. It wasn't your interpretation that we talked a little bit this morning. We can have that. And do you have that is the point. And so the question is, can the church be totally correct and 100% in all that it teaches? And I'm answering that question tonight. No. And then yes. No, then yes. That's all I'm going to do. But don't forget all those passages that we read. Because that's what Paul was trying to instill within the brethren there. That it was hidden. I understand that. It was hidden. And there are people out there who are frustrated. They don't understand, like we read this morning in Acts chapter 8. Well, how can I expect someone to leave me now? But the information he is going to receive, which that Ethiopian received, it had been there. He just hadn't seen it. He had to hear it. Okay. But there was a time when it was a mystery. But it's been made known. And that's what you and I need to understand. Because the frustrating part is, you tell people you're 100% right, all of a sudden, they want to make you look like the bad guy. You're a know-it-all. You think you're better than me. How do you escape that? You can't escape people thinking bad thoughts like that. But I'm trying to tell you that the sooner we get over this and understand that we can be this way, you know what? You have that confidence of going forward and teaching the Word of God. Just like the people, how many times have I mentioned this? I'm sorry about being a broken record. But having the confidence like people that would put on a bomb and walk into a crowd and die for what they believed in. And you and I, we believe what we read tonight. We believed that is true. And that's why we became Christians, right? Why did you become a Christian? I want you to tell me. Why did you become a Christian? Were you 100% sure that the message you heard and what you did to become a Christian was right? Did you know that the church that he added to you was real? It's a spiritual body that cannot be destroyed? Did you know that? I know you know that. It's kind of something you don't know. But I want to instill, if there's anything you need to learn from the lesson, say, what's Chuck's point of his whole sermon tonight? Oh, he's saying, do I live like I have that confidence that I have the truth? That's all I'm asking. Do you live like you have that confidence that you have the truth? And so, can a church be right? Well, the answer right off the bat is, well, no. If all the truth has not been revealed. Now, you know Matthew 16, 13. You're going to be guided to all truth. But that's what we read over there in Ephesians, the third chapter. That's why I didn't want you to forget what we were reading there, because Paul was telling the brethren there, you know what? It was a mystery. Not anymore. That's what he said in verse 9 of chapter 3. And to make all people see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. It had been. Not anymore. It's been revealed. So we have it, is the point. And our job as God's people, why we're here tonight learning, why we have Bible studies, and we forgot to announce again, Friday night, Ecclesiastes class at the Wright's house. Forgot to announce. It's in the bulletin. Okay? So Friday night, 7 o'clock. Or what? Oh, yeah. We have Bible studies. You have your own personal studies. You do this so you can share it with others. You mention it in your prayers. All members doing their part. I'm excited about the growth in this area. Yes, with our own members, but those people that are looking for the truth. I get excited about that. Well, Chuck, what if it's going to be like Noah's day? This is it. This is the eight. You know, well, we're going to be here for 30 years and we only have eight. Well, we'll die trying. But we're just going to keep teaching the word. But here's the key. Do you have it? Is there doubt? When I go back to Genesis chapter 3, I understand that the devil's tool, and what he's going to do for you and me, his plans has not changed. All he had to do with Eve is plant the seed of doubt. Did she understand the message of God? Yes. So he's going to throw in some doubt. Oh, I won't die. So it hasn't changed. And I don't want you to doubt. Now, I can be wrong as a teacher. Don't get me wrong. I can be wrong as a man. But that doesn't mean that I can't admit when I'm wrong. I can't be pointed out error. You can't learn on your own. Yeah, we can. But the church can be the pillar and the ground of truth. And that's what he expects, because the church is made up of Christians. And the Christians have obeyed the gospel that has been revealed. And it's not a mystery anymore. You think about that. I can take each one of your names. Warren. Heard the gospel. He obeyed it. Became a Christian. Tina did. Tony did. Trey did. So now we've got four who've learned the truth. They have that knowledge of what they received was right. Now, you see what's happening here? We're gaining numbers with stability. They're convicted. They're right based on the Word of God. But a church can't have that if they think it hasn't been revealed. That's why you and I are quick. I am very quick, guys, as a teacher, of listening to people, given an implication that all truth has not been revealed. Somebody saying something like, well, I happen to know. I have insight that you can't possibly have, so listen to me. Anybody that even implies that as a teacher, if we have a gospel meeting and a teacher comes up and he says, look, turn in your Bibles to this passage. I was looking at this, and you know what? I realize that brethren have had it wrong for years. I've come to this understanding on my own that for some reason he's got it from somewhere else. Excuse me. There's nothing new under the sun. Okay? And you have the ability to learn. And so we're getting back to that idea. Go to Romans chapter 10. This is the point with all those passages and with Paul preaching to the brethren. It comes down to this. Look, we'll start in 14. Romans 10:14 says, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? Okay. How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I love that verse 17, but I tell you, in its context, it really comes to light. People need to go and preach. People need to hear that message, and it will produce faith. People can understand it, is the point. But a church cannot be correct if they believe that truth cannot be understood accurately, absolute. Is there such thing as absolute truth? You know, Pilate flirted with that question. What is truth? Now, that's your concept of truth. And we have been dealing with that, but I'll tell you what, folks. The people that don't want to see it, you know, I'm not going to throw pearl before swine, but I'll tell you, there are genuine people out there looking. Again, I get excited. I don't get overexcited. I try to keep the balance, but my balance of being discouraged and overexcited, I'm trying to keep a balance, but I want to keep a balance on the high side. So I want to be excited all the time. And so when a guy calls me up today, he called back twice, by the way. He says, hey, I was watching your TV program. I'm doing the series on Calvin. He said, I'm watching your TV program today. And he says, I'm really interested. That's what I've always believed. And he said, can you call me back? I'm just going to get, you know, who are you guys? You know, what are you all about? Okay, so I said, wow, Dad, I got another one. So I another voicemail. Same guy. I don't mind. I thought it was somebody different. But he calls me up, Chuck, it's Robert again. He says, listen, I was listening to your program, and I can hear myself when during the program. And he says, you made this particular point, and that's right. He says, listen, I think I've got the right phone number now. The first time he called, he thought he got the wrong number. He says, but you said the number on the TV again. He says, I've got the right number. So I'm leaving that on the right voicemail. He says, you really need to call me. You know what I'm doing? And as soon as we leave the building, I'm going to call Rob. We're going to talk. We're not just going to talk about, you know, I'm glad that you're interested in coming. Robert, we need to get together. We need to sit down and open up our Bibles. You've been reading on your own. And you understand that, hey, well, there's somebody who believes like I do. Because I didn't, you know what he's going to learn? I didn't court in the market on truth. And the stuff that I'm teaching there, I'm not the only one who believes that stuff. Do you guys believe in once saved, always saved? Do you guys believe that, you know, that in irresistible grace, limited atonement, that Jesus died only for a select few? No, see, I know you guys know the same stuff that I was preaching. You can understand it. I think the guy's a classic case for me to come back and say, you know, I wish he was here tonight. Because it would be a perfect illustration to say that, you know what, you can read this stuff on your own. He says, they need to hear it. You can hear it and you can understand it. Guys, you need to have that 100% confidence. Are we right? The church of Christ, you know, it isn't so much the River Ridge per se. It's like the church that our Lord established, he gave them a commission. He gave them a mission, let's put it that way. As a pillar in the ground of truth, you make known the manifold wisdom of God. What, are you implying, Lord, that we can absolutely know 100% what we're teaching is right? Yes. Have churches ever drifted? Read Revelation 2 and 3. Read Corinthians. You know, we as churches can do things that are wrong. So how did they combat that? Preach them the word. You think Paul taught them things that, well, I didn't know that before. When Keith read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he read the part that was like what we're supposed to do. The verses before that, the brethren were doing it wrong. Paul labored with them brethren, them their brethren. He labored with them. And did they ever do it right? Yeah. So do you think that what Paul wrote in the passages that Keith read this morning of what how you are to take the Lord's Supper, do you think they'd ever heard that before? Yeah, because they had been doing it right. They drifted away from the pattern. These Ephesian brethren in the beginning were taking the Lord's Supper properly. They drifted away from the pattern. And how do you bring people back? With some new revelation? No. The same old story. The gospel didn't change, guys. You changed it, is what he's telling them. You listened to things. You started implementing things. You drifted away from the pattern. There isn't another gospel. There's one. And that gospel, and that's what I love about this. I never made that point before. I wasn't inspired, but my point is, I'd never made that point before that Paul didn't use something new to get them back on track. He used the same old gospel, the good news. It didn't change. They did. And to me, tells me again, I can have that confidence, 100% sure. He will cast doubt, yeah. You ever have doubts about certain things, what you believe? Sure. What removes that? Answers. Bible answers. That's what we do. You got a Bible question? Deserve a Bible answer. We do it radio, TV, whatever. We talk with people sitting around the table. You got a Bible question? Give me a Bible answer. But again, we can't if they think that people think that truth cannot be understood. It can't be right if they violate Romans 14. If we find ourselves binding opinions, forcing them on the congregation. We had a conversation over lunch today about the New International Church, the Church of Christ that has turned into a cult. They tell you who you can't associate with. The one brother that we were at lunch today, Brother Fox, his story that he told, I knew of a similar story where they actually took the girl's income. They took her money and gave her an allowance. They took over her money. You know, that's foreign to the Word of God. That is so wrong. But, you know, that happens when people start binding things they have no right to. Now, remember Romans 14, 1? Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to dispute over doubtful things. For one believes in me and eat all things, but he who is weak eat only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat. Let not him who eats, for God has received him. In other words, don't bind your opinions on other people. Now, if a church does it's not 100% right. Can't be. You're not going to have that unity that's necessary. There is no standard, as we discussed in our morning lesson, when we talked about Jesus. Folks, that morning lesson had an underlying thought that was a very powerful point that ran right through it. There's only one Jesus. And you can't change him in any part. And when we talk about his authority, it needs to be respected. So if there is no standard, this isn't a general guideline. You know, that's why religious groups have catechisms. They have church manuals, guys. Why do they do that? We're not going to do that here. Tim and I are not going to get together and say, okay, here's what's going to be the dress code. I'm not going to start buying it, and here's what you're going to believe about Jesus. Going to do it. We're going to tell you, here is our creed, and expect everyone to abide by it. Now, having said all of that, you obviously know the answer is yes. Can we be 100% sure? If what? Well, if, as we have already been studying and reading, we got to go to Galatians. You know, sooner or later we were going to Galatians chapter 1, because here were brethren that drifted or started listening to false teachings. But this church here, I'd like to believe that we're going to be a pillar in the community for many, 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 many years to come. You know, when Brother Fox tells me that there was this congregation he talked about because he went up and saw the building, and he says, oh, there was a group of Christians that had built a nice big building. He says, Chuck, they're so far off now in liberalism because they lost sight. They lost sight. We can't let a building ever cause us to lose sight that it's just a place of worship, folks, and a place to assemble to have Bible study. We start looking at beyond that and start using it for recreation, we're in deep trouble. Deep trouble. But we're not going to lose sight. Because of the warning. Galatians 1. I marvel, he says. I hope that's never said of us. That you are turning away so soon from him who called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but someone who would trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. That's how churches lose their confidence and how that they can't be right, is when somebody comes along and starts changing the truth. So how do you get them back on track?
Now, I've studied with my liberal brethren.
You know what I've done to try to help them? I've gone back and taught them what they first learned. When you first became a Christian, how did you do that? I try to get them to understand that there's a pattern. There was authority you respected. And you know what else I'll do? I'll introduce things like groups that they disagree with. Now, why don't you do what they do? Well, there's no authority for that. Point. That's my point. You're doing something over here you don't have authority for, but somebody told you it was okay, it was acceptable to God. Don't move away. This church, 100% right. Now, we might struggle on an individual basis with jealousy and envy and hatred and what else is up there? And all the other things that can come upon us. You know, the devil's working on us. I know that. And each one of us have our own battles, and we brought it up in our Bible study this morning, and we're praying, and we're trying to help each other and pray for one another. We just want to get to heaven. We usually don't struggle with what the Bible says, remember? As God's people here, we're not struggling with what the Bible says. We might struggle with why. Or, you don't know how hard it is out there for me. Okay, we struggle with that. We want to make excuses sometimes. But when it comes to truth, there's the answer. I told you about the lady in Nebraska, remember? Some of you haven't heard it because it came later, but I told you about that lady in Nebraska who wanted to have a Bible study. She was surprised when Debbie was there. Oh, Debbie, yeah, come on, have a seat. Had some Bible questions, had some concerns. Half an hour, answered her questions. She goes, that's it? Hmm? And then the Bible study. Well, the other preacher counseled me for months. Look, here's what the Bible says. Now, do you understand it? Now, it's one thing if a person says, wow, I don't know, I still got some more questions about that. Well, let's have another class. You have some questions? Okay. But when you understand it, but you don't like what you're reading, there's the problem. We, as a church here, Newburgh, we know the truth. Now, I don't say we're know-it-alls. I'm not saying I know everything. That 100% might come across like, Chuck says he knows 100% of everything in the Bible. That's not what I said. That's why when you become a Christian, I don't have to tell you that, well, you know, if Tim says, well, Chuck, you know, new convert, let's just say he's wanting to become a Christian. He says, well, Chuck, I don't know much Bible. This literally was told to me one time in a Bible study. I don't know much Bible. I says, look, with what you do know, do you believe that 100%? Yes. There you go. As you learn, you believe that 100%. As you learn more, you believe that 100%. You just keep adding to it. We're constantly growing, guys. All the classes that we have, we're learning more and more and more. But we have that confidence because truth is understandable, as we've been mentioning here. And Paul was trying to get them to understand that. Now, he says in verse 8. But even if we or an angel from heaven preaches any other gospel to you than that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Now, do you understand that Paul is acknowledging here that there are people out there who teach false doctrine? If anyone does this, what are you implying, Paul? Somebody will do it? Yes, I'm implying that. I'm telling you that. People preach another gospel. Oh, why are you telling me that? Because I'm telling you, you can know when they're preaching another gospel. Did you get that? Brethren, I'm telling you straight up. I teach another gospel here. You're just as much to blame as I am if you don't say anything. And if you believe, if I preach a false doctrine. You understand? See, that's what he's saying. This church can remain strong if we say to ourselves, what I believe is 100% right. And then all of a sudden I get up and I teach something wrong, which has happened in other places. No, I haven't done that. But I'm just saying there have been false teachers get up, or a certain person sits in the audience and goes, that doesn't seem right. But I'm not free. Has anybody here ever taken a preacher aside? Seriously, have you ever taken a preacher aside and you said, I had a question about something you said? Why don't you think about that for a moment? It's not a bad thing if you haven't. I mean, it's a good thing. You know, they've been preaching the truth. But on more than one occasion, I can remember taking a preacher aside. Now, he may have just cleared up something I misunderstood. Oh, hey, I just didn't understand it. Or it might have been, you know, all of a sudden where he's in a corner now going, ah, you know, he's trying to backtrack. But if we don't have that kind of confidence, see, you're not going to do that, folks, is my point. If you're not 100% right, or have that confidence, that's what I'm saying, that confidence that what you have is right. We, as God's people, are a part of the church that he purchased with his own blood. Don't ever, let me close with this. You know, I've told this to people that have stopped studying with me in the past. Well, look, I said, I don't know where you're going to end up. But I said, here's my advice. Please, don't ever settle for less. That's all I said. Don't settle for less than 100% of the gospel. And people are settling for less. I love the fact that we, as a group here, as a family of God, are a part of the church that has been given a mission. We have so much work that we're doing that we're a part of. And we have to be working together. And I'm thankful for that. I am thankful that we work together as a congregation. Because we are his body. Jesus is the head. I'm not the head here. Tim's not the head. Jesus is the head, and we're just members of the body. Let's all of us do our part. That's what I love that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Every member is important. But please, go through those doors tonight as you leave with that confidence. But what if you don't? So what's everybody don't have that confidence? Well, let's get it. You've got questions? Let's get together. We'll answer them. But I'm telling you something. The answers that you'll get are only from here. But you have to have confidence in the Word of God. That's where it all comes from. Been very patient tonight. And tonight, before we close, if there's anybody here that needs the prayers of the congregation, we stress that a lot. We've been talking about prayer this morning. We pray for one another. We're brothers and sisters. We're family. And that means a lot. We do good for all people, especially those of the household of faith. You know, I think, why would we be sad that the Collins are leaving? Family. Family. Okay? If somebody falls away, why does it bother us? It's family. It's family. So we care for each one of them. Everybody cares for you. Now, having said that, if you're sitting there and you say, you know what, I could really use the prayers of the congregation, let it be known. If you've gone wayward, be restored. Come back to the Lord's time. If you're not a Christian, you need to become one. Because I'll tell you, you're missing out on a lot of things. Number one, the hope of heaven. Having that peace that passes all understanding. But if you obey the gospel, the Lord will add you to his family, that universal body of Christ, and you can belong to your local congregation, be a part of it, and work together. If you're subject to the invitation anyway, let it be known as we stand together and sing the song.
It's the grandest thing through the ages run. It's the grandest thing for a mortal tongue. It's the grandest thing that the world ever sung. Our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, go to him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. Tis the grandest thing in the earth or man, tis the grandest thing for a mortal strength. Tis the grandest thing, tell the world again, our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, go to him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. Tis the grandest thing, let the tidings roll to the guilty heart, to the sinful soul. Look to God in faith, he will make thee whole. Our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, go to him.
thank Chuck for another fine lesson today. I'd like to remind everyone, if you weren't here this morning, if you forgot, that this afternoon after service, we're going to go to the building. Anyone who wants to go, and we'll open up the doors and let everybody take a look and take a look around so you can see it if you haven't seen it inside and kind of get an idea of where we'll be and what it looks like there. So we invite everyone who can to go over with us after services. So remember those who were mentioned out of town. Sandy's out of town, the Casey's also, so we'll pray for them and have a safe return for us.
If the Collins go out of town, they'll be back
Saturday.
Okay. Let's.
And our kids are out of town, too. I know y'all didn't miss that.
So let's remember everyone who's out and who's going to be out, and we'll be now be dismissed in a word of prayer.
Our most holy and righteous Heavenly Father, we approach thy throne of grace at this hour, thanking thee for all the many wonderful blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day. Especially for those spiritual blessings, dear Father, and we're so thankful for your Son, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus, who was willing to come on this earth and pay that ultimate sacrifice and, on that cruel cross of Calvary in our stead because of our sins. And through his shed blood, dear Father, gives us remission of those sins and gives us a plan of salvation and hope of eternal, everlasting life at least someday. And we pray, dear Father, for the kind of example that we should be, that we would be the kind of example that Jesus was to others. We want to love thee with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, with all of our mind, and we want to love one another as we do ourselves. As each and every day as we deny ourselves and pick up a cross to follow thee, we pray that we will be a shining light out in this world that others will see you through us because of the kind of example that we do and the things we say and the things we do, that there will be no doubt that we are Christians, dear Father. And we pray, dear Father, for continued efforts in reaching out into the lost with the tools that we have available through the TV ministry and through the radio program and through the correspondence courses. We pray that we will continue to be fruitful in every good work, dear Father, reach out to those that are lost while we're still yet time. I pray for those, dear Father, that are traveling. We pray that they have a safe journey to their destination and they might be able to be with us at the next point in time. We're so thankful, dear Father, for your watch care over us. You provided a place for us to meet at in the temporary we're so thankful, dear Father, that you've provided a more permanent location for us. We pray that we will keep looking to you for our continued support and to call upon thee whenever we have anything of concern on our minds. That you are so faithful to not only hear our prayers, but you answer our prayers as well. We wish now as we leave this place and pray that we meet again at the next appointed time. Be thy will. In Jesus, your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.